Sustaining it live with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
Hello, Rita.
Kia ora. How are you?
Good. I'm good. You know, it's Monday. We're trucking on through it. We're just about there. Just about Tuesday. Yes.
We get next Monday off.
Ah, yeah. I forgot about that for a moment there. Think about the Queen.
Yeah, you've got to love a surprise holiday, even if it's not for the greatest of reasons.
The Queen of New Zealand, R.I.P.
Yeah, such a weird thing to say, actually, because I don't necessarily think many of us saw it that way, but I guess it is, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, New Zealand has a new king, King Charles. That seems so strange.
It also all happened very fast. I would have thought, when we change parliament, government, there's this few weeks where they kind of swap over. And yeah, anyway, it all just was happened. Anyway.
What are we chatting about this evening, Rita?
Yeah, so we had some good news yesterday, a strange day for the government to announce some news, but so be it. Somebody obviously works on a Sunday. The topic today is about protecting our productive soils. So we've talked about this in the past and our concerns around, in particular, Auckland sprawl and how those beautiful soils, as you leave Auckland to the south, nice red, rich sort of soils that you see, were quickly being overtaken by, terraced housing and housing. And that was a big concern. So there's been some really good news in that that's going to be protected. So I guess just for those who have missed sort of the past, those past topics, soil is really one of the hardest working natural resources that we have. So it takes about 300 years to form 1 centimetre of soil. So it's not something you can kind of speed up and with trees as much as, I love a good native, if you have to, you can grow some faster growing varieties, whereas soil is just something you can't really speed up too much. And on top of that, because of our heavy rains that we get in New Zealand, we actually lose about 192 million tonnes of soil a year to erosion alone. And that's kind of not something we can do too much about. It's sort of the nature of New Zealand and always has been the nature of New Zealand. So I guess we really need to protect our soil because it does feed us. And over the last 20 years, New Zealand has seen a lot of soil be taken offline, I guess, through the development of housing. So about 35,000 hectares have been taken over by urban housing and then another 170,000 by lifestyle blocks. So, that's a fairly big chunk. And of course, it's concerning because we have a really high reliance on the productivity of that soil to feed us, especially because, places like Pukekohe that are quite close to the city mean that we can grow fruit and vegetables relatively cheaply, get them here to the main population of New Zealand pretty quickly. So pretty important to us. And of course, I think it's fair to say after, COVID and realising that we probably need to be as self-sufficient as possible, it's really good for us to really make sure that we are protecting our food sources.
Yes, certainly. So, it seems madness to be concreting over that incredibly productive soil in South Auckland.
It does. And there's also some, I think the other big area that's of concern is Christchurch has an area on the outskirts. It's a fantastic area for growing that's been kind of slowly being eaten up by development as well. So, and also completely nuts because we are one of the few countries that doesn't have or hasn't had protection for the soil before. Lots of countries have this sort of framework in place. So it's a national policy statement, which we've got a few of these now. We've got one for fresh water and we've got one for urban development, and this sits alongside it. And really what it does, this one is called, National Policy Statement for Highly Productive Land. And really these national policy statements sort of clarify the Resource Management Act, because the wording in the Resource Management Act, and one of the biggest problems with the Resource Management Act, is that it's pretty fluffy. It's things like protect the ecosystem of, and even though I think it's fair to say we understand what they meant by that, when you go and take that to court, it's a pretty wishy-washy thing, like, for our legal system. So they just go, well, does that mean, you know, that things can live in it, or does it mean that you can swim in it? Like, the rivers are a really good example. So this national policy statement just clarifies exactly what those what you can and can't do. And, yeah, it just sets aside that land, protects it for growing produce, fruit and veggies in particular, and protects it, yeah, from urban sprawl. So it requires councils to now identify, map out and manage that productive land and protect it from development. And it, the other thing that's quite nice about it is it also kind of protects farmers and ensures they're not driven out of their lands by high rates. So that's something that I've seen in my area in particular. It's an area where there's a lot, there used to be a lot of orchards, and you know, these orchards were rezoned as residential areas, which really meant that even though the orchard owners really wanted to keep the land, you know, going as orchards, they just couldn't afford the rates anymore, because you're looking at, you know, land that has a lot of, you know, a huge rate bill on it, because it's seen as residential land. So that's really nice as well.
In the instance where, say, a family has had a block of land that they've farmed for a lifetime, and they've had enough and they don't want to be farmers anymore and they want to cash out, can they sell it to developers now, or does it have to stay as a farm?
It sort of depends on the land. So we have a thing in New Zealand called the LUC, which is the Land Use Classification System. And what we do is we actually classify land in 8 categories. So that happens across the country, and it says basically what they do is that allows us to understand what the land is best used for. So in a situation like you know, the Waikato, they, you know, it's a lot of flat land, so you can and are allowed to do dairying in it based on that land. I mean, broadly, it's actually defined a lot tighter than the whole region. But if you're looking at something like, you know, the hills and the Manawatu, they are really deep and the soil's not great, so it's got a different land use classification. So this particular framework allows the land use classifications 1, 2, and 3, the highest quality, the most productive, and can grow the most amount of crops with the least limitations. So no, you would struggle to sell those parts of land for development. So they would very likely have to stay as productive land. But I guess one of the things that we've seen is that a lot of those lands, you know, for the most part, have always been zoned as rural or rural production. It's only been recently that we've seen this pressure for them to become rural, residential lots. I mean, yes, there's some downsides to it, but equally, as food prices keep going up, you know, food production will be, you know, and can be something that people make money out of.
So is this the national policy statement for highly productive land like a legally binding piece of paper, or can people still work around it in the meantime?
Yeah, there's a few little like loopholes. So the council can still develop it if they if there's a, you know, huge need for housing, and there's like a bunch of criteria that need to be met for that to happen. So yeah, there is some loopholes there. So let's just say, you know, one block of land was completely surrounded by housing, and it was no longer, you know, there was nowhere else for housing to grow, and there was a huge demand for it. So, you know, they could potentially tick a lot of boxes. And that was kind of my, I guess my concern with it is that there is still loopholes, and all it requires is an amendment to the Act to actually, or that frame policy statement, to sort of make it a lot easier for these places to develop on. And I guess it's really important that we house people, but what we have to remember is the bulk of this land is actually being taken out by lifestyle blocks. We're not talking about high density, you know, affordable housing. We're talking about $1 million, $2 million lifestyle blocks that then somebody just puts a, you know, a hobby horse or something on. So, you know, these pieces of land are very valuable for us as a society as a whole.
Hey, Rita.
Yeah, sorry.
You go.
There's also another couple of things that I worry about with it, and that's the money to carry this out. So I don't know if anyone really realises, but Auckland in particular is pretty broke. So I worry about the cost for the council to do this and what that's going to come at, you know, what, like, something else is going to have to give. And unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of money being poured into certain areas like Auckland Transport, I don't know, you know, doing trials of things or whatever, but not necessarily in some other areas. So I worry that we will have, you know, cutbacks to other services to meet this requirement. And also just that we're sort of a little bit behind the eight ball on this, and it would be nice for us to be looking, you know, to be a bit further ahead with protecting our soil, because there's so much more we could be doing.
All right, Rita. Hey, thank you very much for an interesting edition of Sustaining Alive. I've just been wading into the comment section on stuff on this, and there is a lot of people with a lot of different views. Just everyone has something to say on this one.
It is a relatively controversial thing, but I mean, we all need to eat, right?
Yeah,
so
totally.
I think food is a pretty important thing to secure. So yeah. And what I thought I'd do is, we're off next week, but the week after I might try and cover off some of the key decisions and candidates for the local body elections.
From an environmental perspective. That'd be great, Rita.
Yeah, totally. Cool.
Right. Awesome.
Awesome.
We'll see you next week. In 2 weeks' time. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's one. See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.